We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burkhan Society with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 451. 451 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burkhan Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. That's 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For all other things, please call us on a question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book, Defending the King James Bible, and also this defense of Lucifer, the Shining One, in Isaiah 14:12. Ask your bookstore to get these materials or call us direct, and we'll tell you how to get both of them at 1-800-10-9. We're talking about the telecast. We have a transcript of the John Ankerberg telecast that was given in summer and the early fall of 1995. Which English translation of the Bible should Christians use? There were assembled in that telecast the representatives and the leaders of the new versions, National Version, New King James Version, New American Standard Version, as well as the James White, who's written a book, as well as Dan Wallace, as well as John Ankerberg himself, six of them against the King James Bible, and there were three members representing the King James Version from different standpoints. We don't agree with all of them, but they were there, and so that's what we're doing. We're right in the midst now of talking against Gail Ripplinger's book. They're talking against Gail Ripplinger's book, the New Age Bible Versions, that sold upwards of 100,000 copies, and they have to stop that book because it's stopping, apparently, the sales of their new versions and perversions. All right, so they're right in the midst of Ankerberg and Dr. Barker. He's saying that the Lucifer is wrong. They borrowed that from the Latin Vulgate, and it shouldn't be Lucifer. And the work that we're talking about, we mentioned before, Hallel, and we've looked at these different Hebrew words, we've taken them up, and Hallel and the verb halal means to shine, and it's a shining one. And Barker, Dr. Kenneth Barker of the New International Version, justifies his translation of the morning star and says it's Hebrew. My friend, morning in Hebrew is not Hallel. Morning is Boker. Boker, Genesis 1:13, if you want to see it in your Hebrew text, the evening and the morning were the first day, and the third day and fourth day and so on. But Boker is morning. And Hallel, which is Lucifer, the light bearer, or is not star. There's no star. How they get star out of it? Kokav is star. Kokav. And it's not morning, Boker. It's not star, Kokav. It's Hallel. The Hebrew word Hallel, which means shining one, halal, to shine. Well, we picked that up. Barker says no. Ankerberg says so. Here's what Barker says. So morning star in Hebrew went into Latin as Lucifer. My friend, morning star isn't in the Hebrew in Isaiah 14:12. That is the error of Kenneth Barker. Erudite error. He may sound erudite, and he may sound like he knows something, but he doesn't know what morning star means. He doesn't have it. That's an interpretation. Now, I grant you, some of the lexicons in the Hebrew language say as an analogy, an interpretation, morning star, but that's not the Hebrew text. The Hebrew text, Hallel, which means, as we said last week, to shine. And a shining one is a good translation. It's given in the Hebrew lexicons and dictionaries. And the word Lucifer, as we explained last time, from lux, which is light, pharaoh, to bear, light bearer, one who bears light, Lucifer. That's exactly what it is, the shining one. And they've transliterated that. It's a good word. So Ankerberg says, so they didn't even take it from the Hebrew. Barker, no, they took it from, brought it over directly from Latin. Ankerberg says, all right. And then Kenneth Barker says, although morning star is the context rendering, scholars have debated who is meant by the words. Now notice, morning star is the correct rendering. It's not the correct rendering. Shining One or Lucifer is a good rendering. And then he says, scholars have debated who is meant by the words, whether the king of Babylon or Satan or both. And then I tack on at the end, Christ, of course, is a morning star. Compare Numbers 24:17 and 2 Peter 1:19 and Revelation 22:16. All right, here's Ankerberg. John Ankerberg says, okay, Don and Dan, we've got one more thing. Gail goes one step further and damns the NASB because you put a footnote that morning star also shows up in the New Testament. Theologically speaking, if the context also could be used besides the king of Babylon to Lucifer there, does that mean that you cannot use morning star as a symbol or a reference to Jesus Christ in the New Testament? Well, here's Dan Wilkins, the New American Standard Version. He says, no, not at all. The trademark and the NAS in the first place is being accurate to the original languages in doing. So they want to, following what the languages are saying, regardless of the theology and so forth. So he says it's got to be accurate. We don't try to put theology into it. We try to take the language and put it in the proper form. And if Ken's right exactly about the Lucifer, if anybody has any doubts about that, I have the Latin Bible right here. Well, what does it say, says Ankerberg. And Wilkins says, it says Lucifer. It says, Cumodo Cadisti the Calo Lucifer, or Lucifer, which actually means light-bearer. All right. Light-bearer is what Lucifer means, and that's what Shining One and Halel is in the Hebrew. That's exactly what it is. It's not morning star. As we said before, and we've got to get this analysis, we have a paper here, it's a short one, giving the Hebrew on these matters, the defense of Lucifer, or Shining One, in Isaiah 14:12. By your speaker, it's Bible for Today, number 2509. 2509, ask for it as Lucifer, or Isaiah 14:12, or simply Bible for Today, 2509. Bookstore to get it for you, or call us direct, we'll tell you how to get it. But that will give you the Hebrew words. It's not morning star, as we said before on the broadcast. Morning in Hebrew is not Halel. Morning is Boker. And star is not Halel, but star is Kokav. Morning star, if that was what the translation literally was, it should be Boker Kokav. Boker Kokav. Say it with me. Boker Kokav. And that's morning star, literally. And if this man Wilkins says the trademark of the New American Standard in the first place is to take and being accurate in the original languages, morning star is not accurate. Lucifer is accurate. Lucifer in Latin and in English means shining one. It means light bearer. In fact, it even says, Wilkins even agrees that the Latin Vulgate that he has is Lucifer, which actually means light bearer. Light bearer, that's shining one, that's Halel, that's Lucifer, and that's exactly what the King James Bible has given, and not morning star. Since when is light bearer or shining one necessarily morning star? Now, certainly stars shine. But how can you say this is accurate and putting an interpretation on Hebrew words that are not there? That interpretation is not there. It simply does not exist. Well, let me continue. Dr. Chambers gets a one-liner in a question, why was it removed? Ankerberg, it's not removed. It's the same. Barker, there's no removal. The Latin Vulgate has it. Why should we bring over into English a term that means morning star in Latin? Now, wait a minute. Now he's trying to tell me that this term means morning star in Latin. It doesn't mean morning star in Latin, my friend. He doesn't know Latin. Lucifer, lux, which is light, and pharaoh, to bear or to carry. It's a light carrier, something that carries light, something that bears light. It's a shining thing, and it's not morning star in Latin. Then Dr. Chambers says, why shouldn't you, if that's what it means, and we're conveying truth to people? And then Barker interrupts, what it means, he interrupts. Poor Dr. Chambers can't get a word in edgewise with these fellows. And then Gipp comes in. What it means, and Dr. Gipp comes in and says, it's obviously Satan. You read the passage from verses, say, 12 to 16. Then Barker comes in. Well, if you heard what I said a moment ago, here's Barker, the snob, the snot. I like to call him a snob. Barker comes in, Dr. Kenneth Barker of the NIV. He's the one who's the Elihu of Job. We've just been studying Job in our Bible reading, in our Bible study, I should say, in our home here every Thursday night. We have a Bible for Today Bible study, home Bible study class, and we're in the book of Job. And last night we talked about Elihu, the young whippersnapper that knew everything. He says, shut up, all of you. Job, be quiet, hold your peace, and listen to all my words. So here's Barker coming in. If you heard what I said a moment ago, he's knocking Gip now in really a sassy fashion. I said scholars debate to whom Morning Star refers, whether the king of Babylon or Satan. Now this Morning Star is not there. Again, he says Morning Star, you should say whom to whom Lucifer refers, light bearer, shining one refers. Dr. Gipp says this. Well, it couldn't be the king of Babylon because he could never sit on the sides of the north or sit on the throne of God. Well, that's a good answer as far as I'm concerned, Barker says. I have no problem with anyone regarding Morning Star there as Satan. No problem at all. Morning Star is not there. It's Lucifer. It's Light Bearer. That's a good translation. Shining One. Shining One. Not Morning Star. That's interpretation. Shining One and Lucifer and Light Bearer is translation. Well, Gip says this. Well, the problem is the King James translators put Lucifer there so it wouldn't be confused with Jesus Christ. Well, that's a good answer, too. Dr. Kenneth Barker says this. He's making a big deal out of the absence of Lucifer in the English. What all Lucifer is the translation of Morning Star from Hebrew into Latin as Lucifer. It's not, my friend, a translation at all of Morning Star from Hebrew. That's not Morning Star. Let me repeat again. It's Halel. Halel, and from the verb halal, which means to shine. And that doesn't mean Morning Star. It's an interpretation, if you want to say Morning Star. But morning is Boker, star is Kokav. Morning Star would be Boker Kokav, Boker Kokav. That's what it would be. It's not Morning Star. It's Halel, which is Shining One. And Light Bearer is a good translation, or Lucifer, to put it mildly. So he's trying to get around the meaning of the Hebrew word. Well, Ankerberg goes in and says, yes, the Latin does not suggest Satan. It simply is the word that is used for Morning Star. My friend, it's not Morning Star. Ankerberg doesn't know any more than Barker. Now Dr. Strauss comes in. He says this. Finally gets a word in edgewise. He gets about 1 inch of space. He hasn't gotten a word in edgewise for many pages of this transcript. But Dr. Strauss mentions this. He says, I think there's a bigger picture here. That is that the King James has given us a theological vocabulary that if we take Lucifer or Luciferian out of our vocabulary, how long will it take the NIV, the Christian populace, the Christian populace to think in terms of Morning Star for the devil? That is, how long will it take to do that? Well, that's a good question for Dr. Strauss, who takes the Textus Receptus position and the King James position. Well, here's Dr. Ankerberg. He says, wait a minute. The fact is, because they translate the word accurately, does that mean that we do not have a doctrine of Satan left in the Bible? Now, notice what Ankerberg says. Because they translate the word accurately. Now, that is the false statement of the year. Translate the word accurately? Morning, star, Boker, Kokav, that's accurate, Morning Star. Look at Genesis 1:13 for the word evening and morning with such a day. Boker is the word for morning. Look at Genesis 1:16. We told you last week that it's in Genesis. And you see, he made the stars also. The word for stars is Kokavim. Kokavim, that's plural. The word for star is Kokav. One star is Kokav. So Morning Star is Boker Kokav. And Ankerberg says, wait a minute, the fact that is because they translate that word accurately. The word in Hebrew in Isaiah 14:12 that we're talking about is Halel. Halel means shining one. And light bearer, one that bears light or shines, Lucifer is just as good as anything else, as far as I'm concerned. And then he says, does that mean that we take Satan out of the Bible? And Barker says, no. Well, Dr. Strauss says, well, the word Lucifer, though, and we use Luciferian and so on, this is all part of our vocabulary. It's been around even from the Vulgate. Ackerberg says, fact is that the concept of Satan, the person of Satan, and what is said about him comes from statements made in Scripture. Okay? We don't have to make up anything. Or hold the line, make up anything? Who's making up Lucifer, the made-up thing, when it's a translation of Hallel, the translation of the Shining One, just because it's a Latin name, nothing wrong with that. Light-bearer, one who bears light, is a Shining One. If he's bearing light, he must be shining, right? And it's not Morningstar at all. And Ankerberg says, the fact is, we've got other places in Scriptures. Satan didn't disappear because the word is interpreted one way or the other in terms of that. If the true statement, all I'm getting to is, are they wrong for absolutely defining the word the way it actually was meant to be said? Well, the first place, that isn't the accurate translation. It's not the word that it should be said at all. Dr. Strauss says this, but the English populace for 400 years or more has understood Lucifer. Then Ankerberg, well, Dr. Strauss got a word in Ezra. Here, John Ankerberg says, you know, Tom, now that's Dr. Strauss, that Augustine criticized Jerome for doing the same thing. You know, Augustine criticized Jerome for doing the same thing. And the guys around Erasmus criticized him for taking it out of Latin. In other words, this is the same criticism anybody that's ever translated the Scriptures in any language has caught from the people. Don't change it. We've had this before. All they're saying is, this is what the word means. And Barker says yes. My friend, that's not what the word means. I just repeat it over and over just as often as these fellows repeat it around the table. The word Hallel, which is the word we're talking about, the Hebrew word Hallel in Isaiah 12, means shining one. Something to do with shining or light. And light bearer or Lucifer, lux which is light, and Pharaoh which is to bear, light bearer is a good translation of this word Hallel, the shining one, the Lucifer. And Luciferian is a shining person, an individual. And it's not what the word means in Hebrew to say that it's morning star. Once more, morning star means in Hebrew, morning is boker, it's not here. Star is kokav, it's not here. There's no morning star here at all. Well, Ankerberg says, Dan, and then Wallace says this. If I could interject here, this kind of argument that you're trying, giving me is very Roman Catholic. Now, this Wallace, Dan Wallace, is a professor now at Dallas Theological Seminary. He says this argument is very Roman Catholic because you say, let's go back to the tradition. In fact, let's go back to the Latin. In fact, if we were to push that to its logical extreme, we should keep everything in Latin and not even have English in the first place. Well, James White says that's right. Then Wallace says this. This is Dan Wallace. He says, quote, because Lucifer is simply Latin, and you also argue it on the basis of tradition. People know this word, therefore it's part of our tradition. Let's not change tradition. Well, John Ankerberg comes in. He says this. All right. We've got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to move on. Gail also says that some of you, your buddies, and the editors of the New Translations, as a result of your thinking and work, you have gone insane, died, etc., and lost your voice, so to speak. So I want some comments, and is this true? Because you guys are the horse's mouth on that. So we'll come back and hear from you on that just a moment. Well, then he goes ahead and takes a break. John Ankerberg tries to be folksy, talks horse's mouth. That is, they're the ones that are going to see whether or not there's some have gone insane, some of the translators. But Gail Ripplinger, in her book New Age Bible Version, doesn't say that your buddies and the editors of the New Translations, as a result of your thinking work, you've gone insane, you've died, and so on. And he's trying to misconstrue this area. Now he comes back, John Ankerberg, after the break, says, welcome back. We're talking about Gail Ripplinger's book, New Age Bible Versions, which criticizes the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, as well as the New King James Version. And we're talking about the verse, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" And because the King James Version took Lucifer from the Latin, which is the meaning of light bearer, or morning star, no morning star. Light bearer is not the same as morning star. Light bearer is shining one. It's Hallel, and that's what is the word Lucifer. Light bearer, morning star is not it. It's shining one. Gail Ripplinger has criticized these men for trying to lessen what the Bible teaches about Satan. Now, one more aspect of this is that when the morning star is used about Jesus in the New Testament, the further criticism is what, Joe? And so Dr. Chambers is finally getting a word in edgewise. Probably during the break he said, "Can I make a statement here?" He probably asked John Ankerberg, "Can I talk up here?" And so he's given him 3 inches of space. Here's Dr. Joseph Chambers standing for the King James Bible. He says this, "To speak to Kenneth," that is Kenneth Barker, this NIV head, is what he said, "John, let me read both times from the NIV. This is Isaiah 14:12. How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, the son of the dawn?" That's quote unquote. "Now you say you correctly have translated the word Lucifer as son of the morning, or morning star. Now in Revelation 22, again the NIV, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star," unquote. So Dr. Chambers continues. He says, "So here we're saying that the language allows in the Old Testament for Satan to be called the morning star, and the language allows in the Greek for Jesus to be called the morning star. Now that's where the New Age influence has infiltrated in your Bible." Now that's an important statement. That's a good statement from Dr. Joseph Chambers. He finally gets a word in edgewise. It's about 3 inches of space. But Kenneth Barker responds. He's the NIV man. He says, quote, "It has nothing to do with New Age. The Bible is replete with examples of the false and the true. For example, you have a true Christ and you have a false Christ. That's what Antichrist is all about. You've got the true, you have the false. You can have a false morning star, you can have a true morning star. I could give you hundreds of examples of that pattern in the Old and the New Testaments." Well, let's just unquote. Let me just stop right here. You don't have a false morning star in Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12 at all. You have a shining one, a light bearer. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12, it talks about, or chapter 11 rather, "Are not Satan's ministers angels of light?" Angels of light. I'm surprised that nobody brought that into the picture. And it's no wonder that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. And this shining one, this light bearer, this Lucifer, in Isaiah 14:12, "I will to God" 5 different times, this Lucifer, this light bearer, this Lux plus Pharaoh, light bearer, this shining one, this one who's in the light, is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 as a false apostle. And is it not any reason or any wonder that his apostles and followers are transformed into angels and messengers of light? And so this is a perfect picture of Lucifer, the light bearer, transforming himself into light, even though he's darkness. Well, here's John Ankerberg comes in. He says, "I'll give you one. Revelation, if you use your illustration you just brought up, in terms of Revelation 6, rider on the white horse, chapter 6, I'm sure, Joe, you don't say that's Jesus." Chambers, "Of course not." Ankerberg says, "That's Antichrist." Chambers says, "No, I do not say that." Barker says, "But in Revelation 19, it is Jesus." Chambers, Dr. Chambers says, "The going forth of righteous judgment." And Barker says, "But in Revelation 19, it is Jesus." Dr. Chambers, "Exactly, sure it." And Barker, "So you've got the false, you've got the true." Dr. Chambers then answers this. He gets a 1-inch space here to talk. "But back here, I do not believe you can make that kind of deduction. when you're talking about the bright and morning star, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, you're talking about the very term for Jesus. And you're saying that in the Bible, Satan is called the exact term that Jesus is called. I do not believe that. I cannot accept that. Well, here Dan Wallace pipes up. He's the one from Dallas Seminary. You need to distinguish between common nouns and proper nouns. Marcus says, yes. Wallace says, the morning star is a common noun. It's not a capitalized word. I don't think Satan is ever called Lord Jesus Christ, though. That's a proper name. And Chambers says this. Let's put ourselves out here in John Doe, in the pew, who has never studied. What does he get out of that? Does he get, well, one's a proper noun and one's a common noun? Let me just say this. All this business of common nouns and proper nouns is absolutely false as well. The Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation is called the bright and morning star. Now, morning star is just as common a noun in Revelation as what they're trying to say in the NIV in Isaiah 14:12, morning star, for Satan. Morning star is a common noun both places. And to say, as Dan Wallace tries to say from Dallas Theological Seminary, out of ignorance, that the morning star in Revelation is a proper noun because it's a name of a person is absolutely false. You can say that the Isaiah 14:12 morning star would be a proper noun if it's referring to a person, that is Satan or someone else. No, both of them are common nouns. Morning is common. Star is common. They're common adjectives and nouns. Well, here's Dr. Chambers. He says, all right, let's see what people say. And so Dr. Ankerberg comes on. He says, Joe, that is Dr. Chambers, hopefully he would get exactly what the apostle meant. The only way you're going to know what the apostle meant is to study the words. And then James White comes in and says, and study the context. And obviously that Isaiah 14, Ankerberg says, okay. And Chambers says, but why throw away Lucifer and put that term? And then White interrupts, you're not throwing away anything. The point is, what we're trying to do, this is James White, who's written this book, The King James and Holy Controversy, what we're trying to do is that term Lucifer come into the biblical tradition until 400 years after Jesus Christ. You cannot determine the original text of Scripture on the basis of what Jerome did 400 years later, and then say that if you go back beyond Jerome and you're somehow infiltrating with the New Age into your Bible. Well, here's Dr. Chambers. He answers, he says, but you see, that's what the new versions claim to be doing, is putting the language in the language of today. And the language of today is not to call Satan the morning star, but to call him Lucifer. So you're defying the very purpose of your translation to take out of the original and put in something understood or understood today. You defy your own purpose. Well, Dr. Chambers has it right. We're going to stop right here for today. I want you to tune in next week. Don't miss it. We always want to come back and answer some of these problems that are brought up by these fellows. These are New International Version men. They're New American Standard men. They're New King James men. And they're King James men. And they're arguing about Isaiah 14:12. Should it be morning star? No. It's not Boker Kokav. It's Hillel, it's Shining One, Lucifer, Light Bearer, and the King James Bible has it right. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and this particular paper on Lucifer, on Isaiah 14:12, or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get all books by calling 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long, until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated, and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 452, 452 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. That's 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For all other things, please call us on our question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our books that we're offering, the Defending the King James Bible, and the Interlinear Hebrew-English Defense of Lucifer as the Shining One, and Isaiah 14:12, and, of course, Dean Burgon's new book we've recently reprinted by the Dean Burgon Society, The Last 12 Verses of Mark. Ask your bookstore to get these materials for you, or call us direct at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get the materials. All right, we're continuing in our answer to the John Ankerberg television show entitled, Which English Translation of the Bible Should Christians Use? It was aired sometime in the August-September 1995, in the summer and early fall, and we're looking at the transcript. We're on page number 21 of the transcript, and we're talking about the issue of Bible versions and the criticisms that they're leveling against that book and its author, Mrs. Gail Riplinger. James White has just said last week, if you talk about something, throwing away anything as far as Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12. Well, we're throwing away Lucifer and light bearer. That's what Lucifer means, lux plus pharaoh. Lux is light, and pharaoh is the Latin for to bear. Light bearer, and the NIV changing Lucifer, which is the Hebrew is Hallel, which means shining one. It means something that's illustrious, something like a star, like something that's shining and brilliant and that has light in it. And they switch shining one, which is the word for Lucifer. That's a good word for it, good translation. And they make it into a morning star. Well, shining one, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where they are, who they are, so on. But the stars twinkle. Yes, stars shine, but it doesn't say anything about a star here. That's interpretation. Yet Kenneth Barker passes off this interpretation of Morning Star as a translation, and that is an error. Morning Star does not occur in Isaiah 14:12. Don't let these false Hebrew scholars, so-called, tell you that it does. Morning Star is not there. It's the Shining One. It's the Hallel. It's the Light Bearer. It's the Lucifer. It's the satanic name. For Lucifer, no problem with it. It's a good one, Shining One. Isaiah 14:12. For to have morning star, you'd have to have morning, boker. You'd have to have star, kohav. Morning star, boker, kohav. It's not there. It's simply interpretation. And yet Barker, Kenneth Barker, Dr. Kenneth Barker, the head of the NIV Translation Committee and chairman there, insists it is a translation, and it is not. Well, here's Pastor Joseph Chambers comes up, and he says in regard to this whole argument, but you see, that's what the new versions claim to be doing, is putting the language in the language of today. And the language of today is not to call Satan the morning star, but to call him Lucifer. So you're defying the very purpose of your translation, is to take it out of the original and put it something in something that somebody understood today. You defy your own purpose. Then Kenneth Barker says, Joe, talking to Dr. Joseph Chambers, all I'm doing is translating Isaiah 14, not into Latin, but into English. That is false, 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 and more false. Dr. Kenneth Barker is making a false and lying statement on the telecast here in the John Ankerberg Show, and I'm here to correct that error. He is not translating Isaiah 14 in the New International Version with his morning star. It's not boker kokav. That is morning star. It is halal from the verb halal, which means to shine. It's the shining one. And it's a very good approximation of shining one to have a light bearer. One who's a light bearer is a shining one, isn't he? Somebody that bears light, and Lux is light, and Pharaoh is to bear, and Lucifer is a light bearer. A light bearer is a shining one. And Barker is not translating Isaiah 14 into Latin or into English. It's wrong. Dr. Chambers says, but you transliterate thousands of other times. Why not transliterate this time and call him Lucifer? And then Wilkins gets in. He's one for the NASB. He says, quote, you wouldn't get that if you did translation. If you did transliterate, that's a translation. What you think you get is Hallel. The Hebrew is Hallel. What you would get is Hallel. Barker says, yes, that is correct. Now, that is true. Hallel is the word, but then that's a translation. That is false. Wilkins strikes out there again. Here's Dan Wilkins, who's the NASB man, who is the head man of the New American Standard Version Committee presently, although it's a dying version, we believe. It's not doing too well as far as sales at this present time. And he calls it a translation. And he gives the Hebrew word, like I've been giving it to you, Hallel. Hallel. That's the Hebrew. And the translation is not Morning Star. The translation is Lucifer, that's fine. It is technically Shining One, one who shines, a light bearer. Nothing wrong with Lucifer. Lux is light and Pharos is to bear. A light bearer, one who bears light, one who shines, one who shines, one who's carrying light around with him, like a lightning bug. That's a shining one, and it's not Morning Star. That's an interpretation. If they want to say it's an interpretation, they ought to call it interpretation. It's not translation. And then Dr. Chambers says, not in English. That's not English. Wilkins said, you said transliterate. And then Dr. Farstad says, if you transliterate from Hebrew, he says, it wouldn't be Lucifer. It would be Hallel, says White. Hallel. All right, so he's got Dr. Chambers on the transliteration, slight mistake, an error in that thing. That's fine. And then Chambers says, but it would still be the devil. That's his point. Wilkins says, no, it wouldn't be that either. And then Ankerberg says, Joe, talking about Dr. Chambers, somebody once told me that Billy Graham was a part of the New Age because he preached that there is a New Age coming. Chambers says, oh, no, never. Ankerberg said, okay. But I wonder, the thing is with Gail, that is Gail Ripplinger, that she is using the words, and she actually uses the idea of New Age. Anytime that you have the word age in the Bible, does that simply mean that we have New Age teaching? Can the Bible use words that the secular society uses, or are we going to be exempt from all the words that are found in the New Age philosophy, but we can't use any of those? And Dr. Chambers says, of course not. Ankerberg says, okay, so why is it that she can pick out some of these words and take them out of the context and say this is New Age? Dr. Chambers, I don't think she's taking them out of context, just like the word master. How does the NIV translate the word master? For 43 times, I believe it translates it teacher. And Barker says, because of the use of the word. Chambers, there's no difference in master and teacher. Barker says, at that time. And then Samuel Gipp says, how do you know the difference of the use of that word? You're being subjective. You're just citing how it was used. And then James White says, let me give you an example. Well, James White's trying to always give people an example. Wallace gets in from Dallas. We at least will use lexicons. You said your source is the Greek interlinear. What lexicon do you use? And then Samuel Gibbs says, the analytical Greek lexicon. Wallace says, analytical Greek lexicon, that was done over 100 years ago by Samuel Baxter. Let me just stop right here. So what? Over 100 years ago, language has changed. Greek has changed. Is that what you're saying? This was updated, as you know, by Pirschbacher, or whatever his name is, and it's still in print. It's still in use. In the analytical Greek lexicon I used myself, there's nothing wrong with that at all. 100 years ago, you mean truth changes. We've got to update all our lexicons because they're 100 years old, or 200 years old, or 300. Lexicons, Greek has stopped. That's a dead language as far as classical Greek and as far as New Testament Koine Greek. Now, modern Greek is a different matter. We don't want to update the thing into modern Greek. That wouldn't tell us what the King James Bible's translation from in the Koine Greek is. We've got to stick to textbooks that are used and that are usable and that are proper. And there's nothing wrong with a Samuel Baxter analytical Greek lexicon. Well, then Gipps says, oh, so a 100-year-old lexicon is no good? Wallace says, well, it's not that it's no good, but then Gipps says, all right, come on now. Tell me, it is good or not? And then Wallace says, this is from Dallas Seminary fella, would you like me to explain it, please? The papyri were published by Adolf Deichmann in 1895. He noticed many, many parallels, similarities between the Greek New Testament and the papyri. Up until that time, most biblical scholars believed that the Greek was the Holy Ghost kind of a Greek. There were 500 words in the Greek New Testament that had not been discovered anywhere else. So they said it must be a unique language. The Holy Spirit must have invented it. After that time, only 50 of these words have not been discovered elsewhere. Unquote from Dan Wallace. Well, here's what Dr. Gipps says. What you're saying now, first you say it's not the English, it's the Greek. Now it's not the right Greek. And next week somebody else will have a lexicon, and then Wallace interrupts, you seem to want to get back to tradition again. Find the sources that agree with your doctrine and stick with those. Gipps says, oh, no, no, no. I'm just saying I bought an analytical Greek lexicon. I got it when I was in Bible college 20 years ago, not 100 years ago. And that's true. Let me pause right there. The analytical Greek lexicon is still published by the Henderson publishers. It's been revised by Pershbacher, whatever his name is pronounced as. And this new analytical Greek lexicon contains not only the Textus Receptus words and how they're parsed exactly how they appear in the Greek New Testament, but also as they appear in the Westcott and Hort Greek New Testament. It has both in it. It's a valuable tool, and there's nothing wrong with it, and it's a good lexicon. Well, Wallace says, well, that's when it was done 100 years ago. Then Barker comes in. Sam, talking about Samuel Gipp, surely you're not saying that we cannot increase our knowledge and understanding over the years. Otherwise, you're claiming the knowledge in the field of textual studies, semantics or lexical studies, the understanding of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words used in the Bible, that all that ceased in 1611, and we can't learn anything more or increase our knowledge and understanding or gain new insights into the meaning of those words. Well, Samuel Gipps says, I don't think you can enlighten anything on the King James Bible by going to Hebrew and Greek. Well, let's just stop right here. This is the Ruckman position, the Peter Ruckman position, and I disagree with it. That's why I felt that Samuel Gipp should not be representing the King James Bible picture. They're after Samuel Gipp. They're trying to needle him. And so he's got in here a lightning rod that's going to take them off the subject, off the theme. And here he's saying that you can't enlighten anything in the King James Bible by going to Hebrew and Greek. My friend, the King James Bible is a translation from the Hebrew and Greek. The source of the King James Bible was not the King James Bible. My friend, the source of the King James Bible was the Hebrew text and the Greek text. And those men studied that Hebrew text and Greek text, and they came out with an excellent translation. We say it's the Word of God in English. God's Word kept intact in English. But my friend, to say that you cannot find more meanings, more nuances, more shades of things in the Greek and in the Hebrew from which the translation was taken, you see, and false doctrine. If you say that, in fact, as Peter Ruckman, Dr. Gipps' teacher and Dr. Gipps' friend, as he says, the King James Bible corrects the Hebrew text, corrects the Greek text, and they've got these new changes to correct in the Hebrew and correct in the Greek. This is heresy. We do not believe that here at the Bible for Today. We do not teach that in the Dean Burkhan Society. This is a heretical position that's held up as being the position of the King James Bible people. And here Simon Gipp again, as he did in other places in this telecast, as we mentioned earlier on the broadcasts, and you can get these tapes if you're interested. Ask your bookstore to get them for you or call us direct at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. You can have the whole series up to this time. If you want the rest of them, we'll have them also, Lord willing, if we still continue, and we hope to continue. But here's another error of Samuel Gipp. He says, I don't think you can enlighten anything on the King James Bible by going to Hebrew/Greek. False, false, and false. Those of us who stand for the King James Bible as the best, the most accurate English version in the English language today, or we believe at any time because they will never go back to the same Hebrew or Greek text, we believe it's superior for four reasons. Superior texts of Hebrew and Greek, superior translators, superior technique of translation, and superior theology. But we do not say that we cannot go back to the original languages of Hebrew and Greek and understand the nuances, the means, and to expound the texts that we're preaching from. As a translation, the King James Bible is excellent. But we still are able, if we wish to do so, to go back to the source from which the King James Bible was taken. So we disagree completely with Samuel Gipp at this point. Ankerberg says, whoa, pick that up. Let's answer that question. Farstead said, meant teacher in 1611. Read English American literature. The schoolmaster, that's what it meant. It meant teacher. Chambers, they didn't pick up this on Samuel Gipp, at least not at this point. Let's see if they pick it up. Dr. Chambers says, but more than just teacher. Then James White said, if you refer to a lexicon, Dr. Gipp, even if it's that lexicon you choose, even if it's an older one, when it translates the King James translation, when it contradicts the King James translation, what do you do? Now notice this. When the lexicon contradicts the King James translation, Gipp says, I never change it. Now, let's pause right here. James White is trying to say that lexicons in the Greek language will contradict the King James translation. I do not believe that the King James translation has been contradicted by lexicons that are sound lexicons. Now, these new modern lexicons, like the one that was connected to the Nazis in Nazi Germany, by Kittel, the father Kittel, the father was Rudolf Kittel, and he had this Bibli-Hebraic in the Old Testament Hebrew, and his son Gerhard Kittel has the New Testament lexicon and New Testament English, Greek words, whatever he calls it. I have those volumes, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I don't know how many there are. They're in my bookcase there. I don't use them too often. But Gerhard Kittel was a man who was a friend of the Nazis, who wanted to exterminate the Jews. Read Mrs. Ripplinger's book on that subject. She has excellent documentation. And why somebody doesn't come in here and praise the lady for digging out all these different things she's dug out in the New Age Bible versions, 1,476 footnotes, almost 1,500 footnotes, 700 pages, done an excellent job. But the point of it is, you may have these newer lexicons, like the one by Gerhard Kittel, who is a Nazi lover and who is a Jew hater, and you may have some of these other new lexicons coming out to go along with the New International Version and some of these other twists and turns of the Greek language. But the lexicons that are sound and sane and sensible and are not altered and doctored do not contradict the King James translations. They do not do that. Well, Gipp says, what happens if you have it to contradict the King James? I never change it. Well, I don't change it either, but let's go see what James White says. He's picking up on this fact that he doesn't change it, and the Hebrew and Greek can't change anything in the King James. White says, so the lexicon is irrelevant, isn't it? The lexicon is only relevant as long as it agrees with the King James. Gipp says, well, he asked me if I had a lexicon, and I told him which one. Then James White said, is the lexicon relevant only as long as it agrees with the King James? Ankerberg says, another way of asking that, Sam, that is Dr. Gipp, is if it doesn't make any difference, then why not use the phone book? Well, that's silly. Gipp says, right. I believe all questions of Greek translation, of proper translation, ended in 1611. Well, White says, okay, there's the description now. Wallace says, let's take this a different tack then. Do you use an English dictionary? Gipp says, periodically. See, they're all pouncing on Samuel Gipp. That's exactly what I told John Ankerberg when he wanted me to be on the broadcast with Samuel Gipp. I said, if you put him on there, the whole thing will just center around some little tiny picayune subjects. It will not tackle the overall structure of the issues involved. And that's exactly what they're getting into now. A back and forth on little picayune points that don't amount to a hill of beans, and they are not overall picture. It is small talk, it's striving about words to no consequence, as it says in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. And it's striving about words to no profit. And that's exactly what's happening. Now, I do not believe, as I've said before on the broadcast, that the King James Bible has translation mistakes. I believe the translation is found in two areas in the King James Bible. Number one, you can find at least one of the meanings given in the Hebrew or Greek language that the King James writers have selected for their translation. One of the meanings that was current in 1611 in the English language was picked and selected by the King James translator. So we don't need any translation mistakes in that area. And then the second phase is they have used one of the rules of Greek and Hebrew syntax and grammar that they have followed in their translation. So they have at least one of the meanings of the Hebrew or Greek words that they've used. There may be other meanings. And at least one of the syntactical rules or the grammatical rules in Hebrew and Greek that they've used. There may be other syntactical rules that may have been used, but they've used at least one. And they've been faithful in that. And therefore, I maintain there's no translation mistakes in the King James Bible. And I don't think you can produce a sound Greek lexicon that does not at least contain one of the words that the King James translators have used in the Hebrew and the Greek. There's at least some of those meanings that are there, and they've used them. These men were linguists. These men were giants as far as their qualifications. There's not a single person on this panel that can hold a candle to the King James Bible translators and their linguistic capabilities. We've gone into this in great detail in defending the King James Bible. If you're interested in it as a listener, you may get that book, ask it for you, or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it. It's at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, as we've said before. And this book, Defending the King James Bible, has five main chapters in it. Chapter 1 talks about the biblical preservation, the preservation of God's words in Hebrew, God's words in Greek. Chapter 2 talks about the superior texts of Hebrew and Greek. Chapter 3 talks about the superior translators. If you want to see the linguistic translation qualifications of these men, you may look at least in that chapter 3. There are other places you can look as well. Well, he says, do you use a dictionary? Well, sometimes I get off the sidetrack. Then Wallace says, do you encourage your congregation to use an English dictionary? Gift says, I'm not a pastor. Wallace says, well, would you encourage the layperson who reads the King James Bible to use an English dictionary? Gift says, as long as that dictionary does not correct the King James Bible. I don't think it does. If you use a dictionary that's got valid English, you know, like the Oxford English Dictionary, a two-volume microprint set that I have in my library, or it has about 14 or 15 or 16 volumes, that gives the historical meaning of English words. And every single word in the King James Bible is in the Oxford English Dictionary. Every single word. And it's there with the meaning that they've given to it, translated accurately from the Hebrew and the Greek. Well, and what the English Dictionary would you require of them? See, as long as the dictionary doesn't correct the King James Bible. Well, we're not trying to correct the King James. Wallace says, and what is the English Dictionary you would require of them? Gibbs says, they'd have to look at them. Wallace, you mean you've never thought about this issue? And Gip, and then Wallace says, all the English dictionaries are modern language dictionaries. Gip says, now one of these, the ones that a lot of people are seeing and using, is Webster's 1828. Webster's 1828 is 200 years after the King James Bible. So what do you use, says Wallace. Gip says, it probably is a good dictionary compared to what is out here today. But, and then Wallace says, so what do you use? How do you understand the words of the King James Bible? Gip says, well, I read. And then Wallace says, without a dictionary that helps you understand. Gip says, my goodness, brother, you mean to tell me you think I have to have a dictionary every time I read the King James Bible? Now, let me just pause right here. This is ring around the rosy. It's round the mulberry tree. It is round robin nonsense. It's on the telecast. I don't know whether this was telecast. It's on the tape. It's one of the tapes that was recorded by these august people talking about the Greek and Hebrew, supposedly, talking about the versions. And here they are pouncing on Samuel Gipp for a solid page and a half And I suppose it'll continue into the next page, yes, and the next page, yes, and the next page, yes. And they pounce upon this one man, Samuel Gipp, for some of his inane, harebrained statements. Now, let me just pause and say what they are. Inane, harebrained statements. He doesn't know what he's talking about. If I had been on the program, I wouldn't have gotten off on this sidetrack at all. It would never have happened. I would have simply said, when answered the question, what dictionary do you use as far as the King James Bible is concerned to understand the words of the King James Bible? The answer to that is the Oxford English Dictionary. That's the answer. It has the historical meanings from the English words from 1000 A.D. to 1200 A.D., 1500, 1611 A.D., 1700, 1900, and so on. It's a historical dictionary of the English language. And that's what I would use, and that's what I do use. When somebody comes along and says, oh, the King James Bible, here's an error in translation here. They didn't know what they're doing here. I simply look at the Hebrew or Greek, and then I look at my Oxford English Dictionary. In 1611, what did the word mean? How was it translated then? And I find the King James translators properly translated Hebrew and Greek into the English with the proper meaning of the English word. And that's what I resolve. Well, they go on scrapping like a bunch of cats and dogs. And pardon me, that's what they're doing. And then Wallace says, well, here's the problem that I've faced. 300 of these words plus have changed their meaning in the last 400 years. And it seems to me that the King James only people use these words in whatever. And then Gipp says, documented. Well, yes, it's documented. In the introduction of the RSV, Gipp says, oh, yes. And that's a very broad representation. It might be 30 that have changed where somebody needed an explanation. Wallace says, it gives the word. Gipp says, okay, shambles is marketplace. Wallace says, okay. Now, let me just pause right here. As far as the number of words that have changed their meaning in the last 400 years, that's not 400 anyhow, 1611 to 1995, and that is 384 years, so it's not exactly that anyhow. He says 300 words plus. Well, the dictionary of the Trinitarian Bible Society lists 612 words. The American Bible Society's lexicon for new words or words that have changed their meaning somewhat lists 500 words. And I'm sorry that Samuel Gipp doesn't know how many words, at least they say, have changed their meaning. And it's a sad thing when he's here without the facts. I wasn't there. I didn't want to be there because he was going to be there. I would have been glad to have been there to have a logical, high-level discussion of the Greek and Hebrew text, James Bible translation, as well as the errors of the New International Version, the errors of the New American Standard Version, and the errors of the New King James Version. I despise the fact that they're putting all of the argument against the King James Bible and letting the other versions go scot-free. That is wrong. And that's what I told John Ankerberg would happen. It did happen, and this is a sad thing indeed. Well, I hope you'll stay tuned next week. We're going to continue. We're going to continue on from this point, and Lord willing, we'll just take it up where we left off next week. Please stay tuned, but time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get this book, Defending the King James Bible, maybe these tapes, or call us direct at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get them. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long, until next broadcast. Don't miss it. who now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burkon Society with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 451. 451 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burkon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. That's 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For all other things, please call us on a question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book, Defending the King James Bible, and also this defense of Lucifer, the Shining One, in Isaiah 14:12. Ask your bookstore to get these materials or call us direct, and we'll tell you how to get both of them at 1-800-10-9. We're talking about the telecast. We have a transcript of the John Ankerberg telecast that was given in summer and the early fall of 1995. Which English translation of the Bible should Christians use? There were assembled in that telecast the representatives and the leaders of the new versions, National Version, New King James Version, New American Standard Version, as well as the James White, who's written a book, as well as Dan Wallace, as well as John Ankerberg himself. Six of them against the King James Bible, and there were three members representing the King James Version from different standpoints. We don't agree with all of them, but they were there, and so that's what we're doing. We're right in the midst now of talking against Gail Riplinger's book. They're talking against Gail Riplinger's book, The New Age Bible Versions, that sold upwards of 100,000 copies, and they have to stop that book because it's stopping, apparently, the sales of the new versions and perversions. All right, so they're right in the midst of Ankerberg and Dr. Barker. He's saying that the Lucifer is wrong. They borrowed that from the Latin Vulgate, and it shouldn't be Lucifer. And the work that we're talking about, we've mentioned before, Hallel, and we've looked at these different Hebrew words, we've taken them up, and Hallel and the word halal means to shine, and it's a shining one. And Barker, Dr. Kenneth Barker of the New International Version, justifies his translation of the morning star and says it's Hebrew. My friend, morning in Hebrew is not Hallel. Morning is Boker. Boker, Genesis 1:13, if you want to see it in your Hebrew text, the evening and the morning were the first day, and the third day and fourth day and so on. But Boker is morning. And Hallel, which is Lucifer, the light bearer, is not star. There's no star. How'd they get star out of it? Kokav is star. Kokav. And it's not morning, Boker. It's not star, Kokav. It's Hallel. The Hebrew word Hallel, which means shining one, halal, to shine. Well, we pick that up. Barker says, no. Ankerberg says, here's what Barker says. So morning star in Hebrew went into Latin as Lucifer. My friend, morning star isn't in the Hebrew in Isaiah 14:12. That is the error of Kenneth Barker. Erudite error. He may sound erudite, and he may sound like he knows something, but he doesn't know what morning star means. He doesn't have it. That's an interpretation. Now, I grant you, some of the lexicons in the Hebrew language say as an analogy, an interpretation, morning star, but that's not the Hebrew text. The Hebrew text, Hallel, which means, as we said last week, to shine. And a shining one is a good translation. It's given in the Hebrew lexicons and dictionaries. And the word Lucifer, as we explained last time, from lux, which is light, pharaoh, to bear, light bearer, one who bears light, Lucifer. That's exactly what it is, the shining one. And they've transliterated that. It's a good word. So Ankerberg says, so they didn't even take it from the Hebrew. Barker, no, they took it from, brought it over directly from Latin. Ankerberg says, all right. And then Kenneth Barker says, although morning star is the context rendering, scholars have debated who is meant by the words. Now notice, morning star is the correct rendering. It's not the correct rendering. Shining One, or Lucifer, is a good rendering. And then he says, scholars have debated who is meant by the words, whether the king of Babylon, or Satan, or both. And then I tack on at the end, Christ, of course, is a morning star. Compare Numbers 24:17 and 2 Peter 1:19 and Revelation 22:16. All right, here's Ankerberg. John Ankerberg says, okay, Don and Dan, we've got one more thing. Gail goes one step further and damns the NASB because you put a footnote that morning star also shows up in the New Testament. Theologically speaking, if the context also could be used besides the king of Babylon to Lucifer there, does that mean that you cannot use morning star as a symbol or a reference to Jesus Christ in the New Testament? Well, here's Dan Wilkins, the New American Standard Version. He says, no, not at all. The trademark and the NAS in the first place is being accurate to the original languages in doing. So they want to, following what the languages are saying, regardless of the theology and so forth. So he says it's got to be accurate. We don't try to put theology into it. We try to take the language and put it in the proper form. And if anybody, if Ken's right exactly about the Lucifer, if anybody has any doubts about that, I have the Latin Bible right here. Well, what does it say, says Ankerberg. And Wilkins says, it says Lucifer. It says, Cumodo Cadisti de Calo Lucifer, or Lucifer, which actually means light bearer. All right. Light bearer is what Lucifer means, and that's what Shining One and Halel is in the Hebrew. That's exactly what it is. It's not morning star. As we said before, and you've got to get this analysis, we have a paper here, it's a short one, giving the Hebrew on these matters, the defense of Lucifer, or Shining One, in Isaiah 14:12. By your speaker, it's Bible for Today, number 2509. 2509, ask for it as Lucifer, or Isaiah 14:12, or simply Bible for Today, 2509. Bookstore to get it for you, or call us direct, we'll tell you how to get it. But that will give you the Hebrew words. It's not morning star, as we said before on the broadcast. Morning in Hebrew is not Halel. Morning is Boker. And star is not Halel, but star is Kokav. Morning star, if that was what the translation literally was, it should be Boker Kokav. Boker Kokav. Say it with me. Boker Kokav. And that's morning star, literally. And if this man, Wilkins, says the trademark of the New American Standard in the first place is to take and being accurate in the original languages, morning star is not accurate. Lucifer is accurate. Lucifer in Latin and in English means shining one. It means light bearer. In fact, it even says, Wilkins even agrees that the Latin Vulgate that he has is Lucifer, which actually means light bearer. Light bearer, that's shining one, that's Halel, that's Lucifer, and that's exactly what the King James Bible has given, and not morning star. Since when is light bearer or shining one necessarily morning star? Now, certainly stars shine. But how can you say this is accurate and putting an interpretation on Hebrew words that are not there? That interpretation is not there. It simply does not exist. Well, let me continue. Dr. Chambers gets a one-liner in, a question, why was it removed? Ankerberg, it's not removed, it's the same. Barker, there's no removal, the Latin Vulgate has it. Why should we bring over into English a term that means morning star in Latin? Now, wait a minute. Now he's trying to tell me that this term means morning star in Latin. It doesn't mean morning star in Latin, my friend. He doesn't know Latin. Lucifer lux, which is light, and pharaoh, to bear or to carry. It's a light carrier, something that carries light, something that bears light. It's a shining thing, and it's not morning star in Latin. Then Dr. Chambers says, why shouldn't you, if that's what it means, and we're conveying truth to people? And then Barker interrupts, what it means, he interrupts, poor Dr. Chambers can't get a word in edgewise with these fellows. And then Gip comes in, what it means, and Dr. Gip comes in and says, it's obviously Satan. You read the passage from verses, say, 12 to 16. Then Barker comes in. Well, if you heard what I said a moment ago, here's Barker, the snob, the snot. I like to call him a snob. Barker comes in, Dr. Kenneth Barker of the NIV. He's the one who's the Elihu of Job. We've just been studying Job in our Bible reading, and our Bible study, I should say, in our home here every Thursday night. We have a Bible for Today Bible study, home Bible study class, and we're in the book of Job. And last night we talked about Elihu, the young whippersnapper that knew everything. He says, shut up, all of you. Job, be quiet, hold your peace, and listen to all my words. So here's Barker coming in. If you heard what I said a moment ago, he's knocking Gip now in a really sassy fashion. I said scholars debate to whom Morning Star refers, whether the king of Babylon or Satan. Now this Morning Star is not there. Again, he says Morning Star, you should say whom to whom Lucifer refers, Light Bearer, Shining One refers. Dr. Gip says this. Well, it couldn't be the king of Babylon because he could never sit on the sides of the north or sit on the throne of God. Well, that's a good answer as far as I'm concerned. Barker says, I have no problem with anyone regarding Morning Star there as Satan. No problem at all. Morning Star is not there. It's Lucifer. It's Light Bearer. That's a good translation. Shining One. Shining One. Not Morning Star. That's interpretation. Shining One and Lucifer and Light Bearer is translation. Well, Gip says this. Well, the problem is the King James translators put Lucifer there so it wouldn't be confused with Jesus Christ. Well, that's a good answer, too. Dr. Kenneth Barker says this. He's making a big deal out of the absence of Lucifer in the English. When all Lucifer is the translation of Morning Star from Hebrew into Latin as Lucifer. It's not, my friend, a translation at all of Morning Star from Hebrew. That's not Morning Star. Let me repeat again. It's Halel. Halel, and from the verb halal, which means to shine. And that doesn't mean Morning Star. It's an interpretation, if you want to say Morning Star. But morning is Boker. Star is Kokav. Morning Star would be Boker Kokav. Boker Kokav. That's what it would be. It's not Morning Star. It's Halel, which is Shining One. And Light Bearer is a good translation, or Lucifer, to put it mildly. So he's trying to get around the meaning of the Hebrew word. Well, Ankerberg goes in and says, yes, the Latin does not suggest Satan. It simply is the word that is used for Morning Star. My friend, it's not Morning Star. Ankerberg doesn't know any more than Barker. Now Dr. Strauss comes in, he says this. Finally gets a word in edgewise. He gets about 1 inch of space. He hasn't gotten a word in edgewise for many pages of this transcript. But Dr. Strauss mentions this. He says, I think there's a bigger picture here. That is that the King James has given us a theological vocabulary that if we take Lucifer or Luciferian out of our vocabulary, how long will it take the NIV, the Christian populace, to think in terms of Morning Star for the devil? That is, how long will it take to do that? Well, that's a good question for Dr. Strauss, who takes the Textus Receptus position and the King James position. Well, here's Dr. Ankerberg. He says, wait a minute. The fact is, because they translate the word accurately, does that mean that we do not have a doctrine of Satan left in the Bible? Now, notice what Ankerberg says. Because they translate the word accurately. Now, that is the false statement of the year. Translate the word accurately? Morning? Star? Boker, Kokav, that's accurate, Morning Star. Look at Genesis 1:13 for the word evening and morning was such a day. Boker is the word for morning. Look at Genesis 1:16. We told you last week that it's in Genesis. And you see, he made the stars also. The word for stars is Kokavim. Kokavim, that's plural. The word for star is Kokav. One star is Kokav. So Morning Star is Boker Kokav. And Ankerberg says, wait a minute, the fact that is because they translate that word accurately. The word in Hebrew in Isaiah 14:12 that we're talking about is Halel. Halel means Shining One. And Light Bearer, one that bears light or shines, Lucifer is just as good as anything else as far as I'm concerned. And then he says, does that mean that we take Satan out of the Bible? And Barker says, no. Well, Dr. Strauss says, well, the word Lucifer, though, and we use Luciferian and so on, this is all part of our vocabulary. It's been around even from the Vulgate. Ackerberg says, fact is that the concept of Satan, the person of Satan, and what is said about him comes from statements made in Scripture. Okay? We don't have to make up anything. Hold the line. Make up anything? Who's making up Lucifer, the made-up thing, when it's a translation of Haleo? The translation of the Shining One, just because it's a Latin name, nothing wrong with that. Light-bearer, one who bears light, is a Shining One. If he's bearing light, he must be shining, right? And it's not Morning Star at all. Then Ankerberg says, the fact is, we've got other places in Scriptures. Satan didn't disappear because the word is interpreted one way or the other in terms of that. If the true statement, all I'm getting to is, are they wrong for absolutely defining the word the way it actually was meant to be said? Well, the first place, that isn't the accurate translation. It's not the word that it should be said at all. Dr. Strauss says this, but the English populace for 400 years or more has understood Lucifer. Then Ankerberg, well, Dr. Strauss got a word in Ezra. Here, John Ankerberg says, you know, Tom, now that's Dr. Strauss, that Augustine criticized Jerome for doing the same thing. You know, Augustine criticized Jerome for doing the same thing. And the guys around Erasmus criticized him for taking it out of Latin. In other words, this is the same criticism anybody that's ever translated the Scriptures in any language has caught from the people. Don't change it. We've had this before. All they're saying is, this is what the word means. And Barker says yes. My friend, that's not what the word means. I just repeat it over and over just as often as these fellows repeat it around the table. The word Haleo, which is the word we're talking about, the Hebrew word Haleel in Isaiah 12 means shining one. Something to do with shining or light. And light bearer or Lucifer, lux which is light, and Pharaoh which is to bear, light bearer is a good translation of this word Haleel, the shining one, the Lucifer. And Luciferian is a shining person, an individual. And it's not what the word means in Hebrew to say that it's morning star. Once more, morning star means in Hebrew, morning is boker, it's not here. Star is kokav, it's not here. There's no morning star here at all. Well, Ankerberg says, Dan, and then Wallace says this. If I could interject here, this kind of argument that you're trying, that you're going, giving me is very Roman Catholic. Now this Wallace, Dan Wallace, is a professor now at Dallas Theological Seminary. He says this argument is very Roman Catholic because you say, let's go back to the tradition. In fact, let's go back to the Latin. In fact, if we were to push that to its logical extreme, we should keep everything in Latin and not even have English in the first place. Well, James White says that's right. Then Wallace says this. This is Dan Wallace. He says, quote, because Lucifer is simply Latin, and you also argue it on the basis of tradition. People know this word, therefore it's part of our tradition. Let's not change tradition. Well, John Ankerberg comes in. He says this. All right, we've got to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to move on. Dale also says that some of you, your buddies, and the editors of the New Translations, as a result of your thinking and work, you have gone insane, died, etc., and lost your voice, so to speak. So I want some comments. Is this true? Because you guys are the horse's mouth on that. So we'll come back and hear from you on that just a moment. Well, then he goes ahead and takes a break. John Ankerberg tries to be folksy. Talks horse's mouth. That is, they're the ones that are going to see whether or not there's some have gone insane, some of the translators. But Gail Ripplinger, in her book New Age Bible Version, doesn't say that your buddies and the editors of the New Translations, as a result of your thinking work, you've gone insane, you've died, and so on. And he's trying to misconstrue this area. Now he comes back, John Ankerberg, after the break, says, welcome back. We're talking about Gail Riffmeyer's book, New Age Bible Versions, which criticizes the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, as well as the New King James Version. And we're talking about the verse, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" And because the King James Version took Lucifer from the Latin, which is the meaning of light bearer, or morning star, no morning star. Light bearer is not the same as morning star. Light bearer is shining one. It's Haleo, and that's what is the word Lucifer. Light bearer, morning star is not it. It's shining one. Gail Riffmeyer has criticized these men for trying to lessen what the Bible teaches about Satan. Now, one more aspect of this is that when the morning star is used about Jesus in the New Testament, the further criticism is what, Joe? And so Dr. Chambers is finally getting a word in edgewise. Probably during the break, he said, "Can I make a statement here?" He probably asked John Ankerberg, "Can I talk up here?" And so he's given him 3 inches of space. Here's Dr. Joseph Chambers standing for the King James Bible. He says this: "To speak to Kenneth," that is Kenneth Barker, this NIV head, is what he said, "John, let me read both times from the NIV. This is Isaiah 14:12. How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, the son of the dawn?" That's quote unquote. "Now you say you correctly have translated the word Lucifer as son of the morning, or morning star. Now in Revelation 22, again the NIV, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star," unquote. So Dr. Chambers continues. He says, "So here we're saying that the language allows in the Old Testament for Satan to be called the morning star, and the language allows in the Greek for Jesus to be called the morning star. Now that's where the New Age influence has infiltrated in your Bible." Now that's an important statement. That's a good statement from Dr. Joseph Chambers. He finally gets a word in edgewise. It's about 3 inches of space. But Kenneth Barker responds. He's the NIV man. He says, quote, "It has nothing to do with New Age. The Bible is replete with examples of the false and the true. For example, you have a true Christ and you have a false Christ. That's what Antichrist is all about. You've got the true, you have the false. You can have a false morning star, you can have a true morning star. I could give you hundreds of examples of that pattern in the Old and the New Testaments." Well, let's just unquote. Let me just stop right here. You don't have a false morning star in Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12 at all. You have a shining one, a light bearer. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians and chapter 12, it talks about, or chapter 11 rather, "Are not Satan's ministers angels of light?" Angels of light. I'm surprised that nobody brought that into the picture. And it's no wonder that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. And this shining one, this light bearer, this Lucifer, in Isaiah 14:12, "I will to God" 5 different times, this Lucifer, this light bearer, this Lux plus Pharaoh light bearer, this shining one, this one who's in the light, is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 as a false apostle. And is it not any reason or any wonder that his apostles and followers are transformed into angels and messengers of light? And so this is a perfect picture of Lucifer, the light bearer, transforming himself into light, even though he's darkness. Well, here's John Ankerberg comes in. He says, "I'll give you one. Revelation, if you use your illustration you just brought up, in terms of Revelation 6, rider on the white horse, chapter 6, I'm sure, Joe, you don't say that's Jesus." Chambers, "Of course not." Ankerberg says, "That's Antichrist." Chambers says, "No, I do not say that." Barker says, "But in Revelation 19, it is Jesus." Dr. Chambers says, "The going forth of righteous judgment." And Barker says, "But in Revelation 19, it is Jesus." Dr. Chambers, "Exactly, sure is." And Barker, "So you've got the false, you've got the true." Dr. Chambers then answers this. He gets a 1-inch space here to talk. "But back here, I do not believe you can make that kind of deduction. when you're talking about the bright and morning star, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, you're talking about the very term for Jesus. And you're saying that in the Bible, Satan is called the exact term that Jesus is called. I do not believe that. I cannot accept that. Well, here Dan Wallace pipes up. He's the one from Dallas Seminary. You need to distinguish between common nouns and proper nouns. Marcus says, yes. Wallace says, the morning star is a common noun. It's not a capitalized word. I don't think Satan is ever called Lord Jesus Christ, though. That's a proper name. And Chambers says this. Let's put ourselves out here in John Doe, in the pew, who has never studied. What does he get out of that? Does he get, well, one's a proper noun, one's a common noun? Let me just say this. All this business of common nouns and proper nouns is absolutely false as well. The Lord Jesus Christ in Revelation is called the bright and morning star. Now, morning star is just as common a noun in Revelation as what they're trying to say in the NIV in Isaiah 14:12, morning star, for Satan. Morning star is a common noun both places. And to say, as Dan Wallace tries to say from Dallas Theological Seminary, out of ignorance, that the morning star in Revelation is a proper noun because it's a name of a person is absolutely false. You can say that the Isaiah 14:12 morning star would be a proper noun if it's referring to a person, that is Satan or someone else. No, both of them are common nouns. Morning is common. Star is common. They're common adjectives and nouns. Well, here's Dr. Chambers. He says, all right, let's see what people say. And so Dr. Ankerberg comes on. He says, Joe, that is Dr. Chambers, hopefully he would get exactly what the apostle meant. And the only way you're going to know what the apostle meant is to study the words. And then James White comes in and says, and study the context. And obviously that Isaiah 14, Ankerberg says, okay. And Chambers says, but why throw away Lucifer and put that term? And then White interrupts, you're not throwing away anything. The point is, what we're trying to do, this is James White, who's written this book, The King James Only Controversy, what we're trying to do is that term Lucifer come into the biblical tradition until 400 years after Jesus Christ. You cannot determine the original text of Scripture on the basis of what Jerome did 400 years later, and then say that if you go back beyond Jerome and you're somehow infiltrating with the New Age into your Bible. Well, here's Dr. Chambers. He answers, he says, but you see, that's what the new versions claim to be doing, is putting the language in the language of today. And the language of today is not to call Satan the morning star, but to call him Lucifer. So you're defying the very purpose of your translation to take out of the original and put in something understood understood today. You defy your own purpose. Well, Dr. Chambers has it right. We're going to stop right here for today. I want you to tune in next week. Don't miss it. We always want to come back and answer some of these problems that are brought up by these fellows. These are New International Version men. They're New American Standard men. They're New King James men. And they're King James men. And they're arguing about Isaiah 14:12. Should it be morning star? No. It's not Boker Kokav. It's Hillel. It's Shining One. Lucifer, Light Bearer, and the King James Bible has it right. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and this particular paper on Lucifer on Isaiah 14:12, or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get all books by calling 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long, until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today, Incorporated, and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 452, 452 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Rashid Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. That's 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For all other things, please call us on our question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our books that we're offering, the Defending the King James Bible and the Interlinear Hebrew-English Defense of Lucifer as the Shining One, and Isaiah 14:12, and, of course, Dean Burgon's new book we've recently reprinted by the Dean Burgon Society, The Last 12 Verses of Mark. Ask your bookstore to get these materials for you, or call us direct at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get the materials. All right, we're continuing in our answer to the John Ankerberg television show entitled, Which English Translation of the Bible Should Christians Use? It was aired sometime in the August-September 1995, in the summer and early fall, and we're looking at the transcript. We're on page number 21 of the transcript, and we're talking about the issue of Bible versions and the criticisms that they're leveling against that book and its author, Mrs. Gail Riplinger. James White has just said last week, if you talk about something, throwing away anything as far as Lucifer in Isaiah 14:12. Well, we're throwing away Lucifer and light bearer. That's what Lucifer means, lux plus pharaoh. Lux is light, and pharaoh is the Latin for to bear. Light bearer, and the NIV changing Lucifer, which is the Hebrew is Hillel, which means shining one. It means something that's illustrious, something like a star, like something that's shining and brilliant and that has light in it. And they switch shining one, which is the word for Lucifer, that's a good word for it, good translation, and they make it into a morning star. Well, shining one, twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder where they are, who they are, so on. But the stars twinkle. Yes, stars shine, but it doesn't say anything about a star here. That's interpretation. Yet Kenneth Barker passes off this interpretation of morning star as a translation, and that is an error. Morning star does not occur in Isaiah 14:12. Don't let these false Hebrew scholars, so-called, tell you that it does. Morning star is not there. It's the shining one. It's the Hillel. It's the light bearer. It's the Lucifer. It's the satanic name. For Lucifer, no problem with it. It's a good one, shining one. Isaiah 14:12. For to have morning star, you'd have to have morning, boker. You'd have to have star, kohav. Morning star, boker, kohav. It's not there. It's simply interpretation, and yet Barker, Kenneth Barker, Dr. Kenneth Barker, the head of the NIV Translation Committee and chairman there, insists it is a translation, and it is not. Well, here's Pastor Joseph Chambers comes up, and he says in regard to this whole argument, but you see, that's what the new versions claim to be doing, is putting the language in the language of today. And the language of today is not to call Satan the morning star, but to call him Lucifer. So you're defying the very purpose of your translation, is to take it out of the original and put it in something that somebody understood today. You defy your own purpose. Then Kenneth Barker says, Joe, talking to Dr. Joseph Chambers, all I'm doing is translating Isaiah 14, not into Latin, but in the English. That is false, 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 and more false. Dr. Kenneth Barker is making a false and lying statement on the telecast here in the John Ankerberg Show, and I'm here to correct that error. He is not translating Isaiah 14 in the New International Version with his morning star. It's not Boker Kokav. That is morning star. It is Hillel, from the verb halal, which means to shine. It's the shining one. And it's a very good approximation of shining one, to have a light bearer. One who's a light bearer is a shining one, isn't he? Somebody that bears light, and Lux is light, and Pharaoh is to bear, and Lucifer is a light bearer. A light bearer is a shining one. And Barker is not translating Isaiah 14 into Latin or into English. It's wrong. Dr. Chambers says, but you transliterate thousands of other times. Why not transliterate this time and call him Lucifer? Then Wilkins gets in. He's the one for the NASB. He says, quote, you wouldn't get that if you did translation. If you did transliterate, that's a translation. What you think you get is Hallel. The Hebrew is Hallel. What you would get is Hallel. Now, Barker says, yes, that is correct. Now, that is true. Hallel is the word, but then that's a translation. That is false. Wilkins is strikes out there again. Here's Dan Wilkins, who's the NASB man, who is the head man of the New American Standard Version Committee presently, although it's a dying version, we believe. It's not doing too well as far as sales at this present time. And he calls it a translation. And he gives the Hebrew word, like I've been giving it to you, Hallel. Hallel. That's the Hebrew. And the translation is not Morning Star. The translation is Lucifer, that's fine. It is technically Shining One, one who shines, a light bearer. Nothing wrong with Lucifer. Lux is light and Pharos is to bear. A light bearer, one who bears light, one who shines, one who shines, one who's carrying light around with him, like a lightning bug. That's a shining one, and it's not Morning Star. That's an interpretation. If they want to say it's an interpretation, they ought to call it interpretation. It's not translation. And then Dr. Chambers says, not in English. That's not English. Wilkins said, you said transliterate. And then Dr. Farstad says, if you transliterate from Hebrew, he says, it wouldn't be Lucifer. It would be Hallel, says White. Hallel. All right, so he's got Dr. Chambers on the transliteration, slight mistake and error in that thing. That's fine. And then Chambers says, but it would still be the devil. That's his point. Wilkins says, no, it wouldn't be that either. And then Ankerberg says, Joe, talking about Dr. Chambers, somebody once told me that Billy Graham was a part of the New Age because he preached that there is a New Age coming. Chambers says, oh, no, never. Ankerberg said, okay, but I wonder, the thing is with Gail, that is Gail Ripplinger, that she is using the words, and she actually uses the idea of New Age anytime that you have the word age in the Bible, does that simply mean that we have New Age teaching? Can the Bible use words that the secular society uses, or are we going to be exempt from all the words that are found in the New Age philosophy, but we can't use any of those? And Dr. Chambers says, of course not. Ankerberg says, okay, so why is it that she can pick out some of these words and take them out of the context and say this is New Age? Dr. Chambers, I don't think she's taking them out of context, just like the word master. How does the NIV translate the word master? For 43 times, I believe it translates it teacher. And Barker says, because of the use of the word. Chambers, there's no difference in master and teacher. Barker says, at that time. And then Samuel Gipp says, how do you know the difference of the use of that word? You're being subjective. You're just citing how it was used. And then James White says, let me give you an example. Well, James White's trying to always give people an example. Wallace gets in from Dallas. We at least will use lexicons. You said your source is the Greek interlinear. What lexicon do you use? And then Samuel Gibbs says, the analytical Greek lexicon. Wallace says, analytical Greek lexicon, that was done over 100 years ago by Samuel Baxter. Let me just stop right here. So what? Over 100 years ago, language has changed. Greek has changed. Is that what you're saying? This was updated, as you know, by Pershbacher, or whatever his name is, and it's still in print. It's still in use. In the analytical Greek lexicon I use myself, there's nothing wrong with that at all. 100 years ago, you mean truth changes. We've got to update all our lexicons because they're 100 years old, or 200 years old, or 300. Lexicons, Greek has stopped. That's a dead language as far as classical Greek and as far as New Testament Koine Greek. Now, modern Greek is a different matter. We don't want to update the thing into modern Greek. That wouldn't tell us what the King James Bible's translation from in the Koine Greek is. We've got to stick to textbooks that are used and that are usable and that are proper. And there's nothing wrong with a Samuel Baxter analytical Greek lexicon. Well, then Gipps says, oh, so a 100-year-old lexicon is no good? Wallace says, well, it's not that it's no good, but then Gipps says, all right, come on now. Tell me, it is good or not? And then Wallace says, this is from Dallas Seminary fella, would you like me to explain it, please? The papyri were published by Adolf Deichmann in 1895. He noticed many, many parallels, similarities between the Greek New Testament and the papyri. Up until that time, most biblical scholars believed that the Greek was the Holy Ghost kind of a Greek. There were 500 words in the Greek New Testament that had not been discovered anywhere else. So they said it must be a unique language. The Holy Spirit must have invented it. After that time, only 50 of these words have not been discovered elsewhere. Unquote from Dan Wallace. Well, here's what Dr. Gipps says. What you're saying now, first you say it's not the English, it's the Greek. Now it's not the right Greek. And next week somebody else will have a lexicon, and then Wallace interrupts, you seem to want to get back to tradition again. Find the sources that agree with your doctrine and stick with those. Gipps says, oh, no, no, no. I'm just saying I bought an analytical Greek lexicon. I got it when I was in Bible college 20 years ago, not 100 years ago. And that's true. Let me pause right there. The analytical Greek lexicon is still published by the Henderson publishers. It's been revised by Pirschbacher, whatever his name is pronounced as. And this new analytical Greek lexicon contains not only the Textus Receptus words and how they're parsed exactly how they appear in the Greek New Testament, but also as they appear in the Westcott and Hort Greek New Testament. It has both in it. It's a valuable tool, and there's nothing wrong with it, and it's a good lexicon. Well, Wallace says, well, that's when it was done 100 years ago. Then Barker comes in. Sam, talking about Samuel Gipps. Surely you're not saying that we cannot increase our knowledge and understanding over the years. Otherwise, you're claiming the knowledge in the field of textual studies, semantics, or lexical studies, the understanding of the Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek words used in the Bible, that all that ceased in 1611, and we can't learn anything more or increase our knowledge and understanding or gain new insights into the meaning of those words. Well, Samuel Gipps says, I don't think you can enlighten anything on the King James Bible by going to Hebrew and Greek. Well, let's just stop right here. This is the Ruckman position, the Peter Ruckman position, and I disagree with it. That's why I felt that Samuel Gipps should not be representing the King James Bible picture. They're after Samuel Gipps. They're trying to needle him. And so he's got in here a lightning rod that's going to take them off the subject, off the theme. And here he's saying that you can't enlighten anything in the King James Bible by going to Hebrew and Greek. My friend, the King James Bible is a translation from the Hebrew and Greek. The source of the King James Bible was not the King James Bible. My friend, the source of the King James Bible was the Hebrew text and the Greek text. And those men studied that Hebrew text and Greek text, and they came out with an excellent translation. We say it's the Word of God in English. God's Word kept intact in English. But my friend, to say that you cannot find more meanings, more nuances, more shades of things in the Greek and in the Hebrew from which the translation was taken, you see, and false doctrine. If you say that, in fact, as Peter Ruckman, Dr. Gipps' teacher and Dr. Gipps' friend, as he says, the King James Bible corrects the Hebrew text, corrects the Greek text, and they've got these new changes to correct in the Hebrew and correct in the Greek. This is heresy. We do not believe that here at the Bible for today. We do not teach that in the Dean Burkham Society. This is a heretical position that's held up as being the position of the King James Bible people. And here Simon Gipp again, as he did in other places in this telecast, as we mentioned earlier on the broadcasts, and you can get these tapes if you're interested. Ask your bookstore to get them for you or call us direct at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. You can have the whole series up to this time. If you want the rest of them, we'll have them also, Lord willing, if we still continue, and we hope to continue. But here's another error of Samuel Gipp. He says, I don't think you can enlighten anything on the King James Bible by going to Hebrew/Greek. False, false, and false. Those of us who stand for the King James Bible as the best, the most accurate English version in the English language today, or we believe at any time, because they will never go back to the same Hebrew or Greek text, we believe it's superior for four reasons. Superior texts of Hebrew and Greek, superior translators, superior technique of translation, and superior theology. But we do not say that we cannot go back to the original languages of Hebrew and Greek and understand the nuances, the means, and to expound the texts that we're preaching from. As a translation, the King James Bible is excellent. But we still are able, if we wish to do so, to go back to the source from which the King James Bible was taken. So we disagree completely with Samuel Gipp at this point. Ankerberg says, whoa, pick that up. Let's answer that question. First, it said, meant teacher in 1611. Read English American Literature. The schoolmaster, that's what it meant. It meant teacher. Chambers. They didn't pick up this on Samuel Gipp, at least not at this point. Let's see if they pick it up. Dr. Chambers says, but more than just teacher. Then James White said, if you refer to a lexicon, Dr. Gipp, even if it's that lexicon you choose, even if it's an older one, when it translates the King James translation, when it contradicts the King James translation, what do you do? Now notice this. When the lexicon contradicts the King James translation, Gipp says, I never change it. Now, let's pause right here. James White is trying to say that lexicons in the Greek language will contradict the King James translation. I do not believe that the King James translation has been contradicted by lexicons that are sound lexicons. Now, these new modern lexicons, like the one from the one that was connected to the Nazis in Nazi Germany, by Kittel, the father Kittel, the father was Rudolf Kittel, and he had this Bibli-Hebraic in the Old Testament Hebrew, and his son Gerhard Kittel has the New Testament lexicon and New Testament English, Greek words, whatever he calls it. I have those volumes, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, I don't know how many there are. They're in my bookcase there. I don't use them too often. But Gerhard Kittel was a man who was a friend of the Nazis, who wanted to exterminate the Jews. Read Mrs. Ripplinger's book on that subject. She has excellent documentation. And why somebody doesn't come in here and praise the lady for digging out all these different things she's dug out in the New Age Bible versions, 1,476 footnotes, almost 1,500 footnotes, 700 pages. Done an excellent job. But the point of it is, you may have these newer lexicons, like the one by Gerhard Kittel, who is a Nazi lover and who is a Jew hater, and you may have some of these other new lexicons coming out to go along with the New International Version and some of these other twists and turns of the Greek language. But the lexicons that are sound and sane and sensible and are not altered and doctored do not contradict the King James translations. They do not do that. Well, Gipp says, what happens if you have it to contradict the King James? I never change it. Well, I don't change it either, but let's go see what James White says. He's picking up on this fact that he doesn't change it, and the Hebrew and Greek can't change anything in the King James. White says, so the lexicon is irrelevant, isn't it? The lexicon is only relevant as long as it agrees with the King James. Gipp says, well, he asked me if I had a lexicon, and I told him which one. Then James White said, is the lexicon relevant only as long as it agrees with the King James? Ankerberg says, another way of asking that, Sam, that is Dr. Gipp, is if it doesn't make any difference, then why not use the phone book? Well, that's silly. Gipp says, right. I believe all questions of Greek translation, of proper translation, ended in 1611. Well, White says, okay, there's the description now. Wallace says, let's take this a different tack then. Do you use an English dictionary? Gipp says, periodically. See, they're all pouncing on Samuel Gipp. That's exactly what I told John Ankerberg when he wanted me to be on the broadcast with Samuel Gipp. I said, if you put him on there, the whole thing will just center around some little tiny picayune subjects. It will not tackle the overall structure of the issues involved. And that's exactly what they're getting into now. A back and forth on little picayune points that don't amount to a hill of beans, and they are not overall picture. It is small talk, it's striving about words to no consequence, as it says in the book of 1 and 2 Timothy. And it's striving about words to no profit. And that's exactly what's happening. Now, I do not believe, as I've said before on the broadcast, that the King James Bible has translation mistakes. I believe the translation is found in two areas in the King James Bible. Number one, you can find at least one of the meanings given in the Hebrew or Greek language that the King James writers have selected for their translation. One of the meanings that was current in 1611 in the English language was picked and selected by the King James translator. So we don't need any translation mistakes in that area. And then the second phase is they have used one of the rules of Greek and Hebrew syntax and grammar that they have followed in their translation. So they have at least one of the meanings of the Hebrew or Greek words that they've used. There may be other meanings. And at least one of the syntactical rules or the grammatical rules in Hebrew and Greek that they've used. There may be other syntactical rules that may have been used, but they've used at least one. And they've been faithful in that. And therefore, I maintain there's no translation mistakes in the King James Bible. And I don't think you can produce a sound Greek lexicon that does not at least contain one of the words that the King James translators have used in the Hebrew and the Greek. There's at least some of those meanings that are there, and they've used them. These men were linguists. These men were giants as far as their qualifications. There's not a single person on this panel that can hold a candle to the King James Bible translators and their linguistic capabilities. We've gone into this in great detail in defending the King James Bible. If you're interested in it as a listener, you may get that book, ask it for you, or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it. It's at 1-800-JOHN-10-9, as we've said before. And this book, Defending the King James Bible, has five main chapters in it. Chapter 1 talks about the biblical preservation, the preservation of God's words in Hebrew, God's words in Greek. Chapter 2 talks about the superior texts of Hebrew and Greek. Chapter 3 talks about the superior translators. If you want to see the linguistic translation qualifications of these men, you may look at least in that chapter 3. There are other places you can look as well. Well, he says, do you use a dictionary? Well, sometimes I get off the sidetrack. Wallace says, do you encourage your congregation to use an English dictionary? Gibbs says, I'm not a pastor. Wallace says, well, would you encourage the layperson who reads the King James Bible to use an English dictionary? Gipp says, as long as that dictionary does not correct the King James Bible. And I don't think it does. If you use a dictionary that's got valid English, you know, like the Oxford English Dictionary, a two-volume micro-print set that I have in my library, or it has about 14 or 15 or 16 volumes, that gives the historical meaning of English words. And every single word in the King James Bible is in the Oxford English Dictionary. Every single word. And it's there with the meaning that they've given to it, translated accurately from the Hebrew and the Greek. Well, and what the English Dictionary would you require of them? See, as long as the dictionary doesn't correct the King James Bible. Well, we're not trying to correct the King James. Wallace says, and what is the English Dictionary you would require of them? Gipps says, they'd have to look at them. Wallace, you mean you've never thought about this issue? And then Wallace says, all the English dictionaries are modern language dictionaries. Now Gipp says, now one of these, the ones that a lot of people are seeing and using, is Webster's 1828 is 200 years after the King James Bible. So what do you use, says Wallace. Gipp says, it probably is a good dictionary compared to what is out here today. But, and then Wallace says, so what do you use? How do you understand the words of the King James Bible? Gipps says, well, I read. And then Wallace says, without a dictionary that helps you understand. Gipps says, my goodness, brother, you mean to tell me you think I have to have a dictionary every time I read the King James Bible? Now, let me just pause right here. This is round the rosy, ring around the rosy. It's round the mulberry tree. It is round robin nonsense. It's on the telecast. I don't know whether this was telecast. It's on the tape. It's one of the tapes that was recorded by these august people talking about the Greek and Hebrew, supposedly, talking about the versions. And here they are pouncing on Samuel Gipp for a solid page and a half And I suppose it'll continue to the next page, yes, and the next page, yes, and the next page, yes. And they pounce upon this one man, Samuel Gipp, for some of his inane, harebrained statements. Now, let me just pause and say what they are. Inane, harebrained statements. He doesn't know what he's talking about. If I had been on the program, I wouldn't have gotten off on this sidetrack at all. It would never have happened. I would have simply said, when answered the question, what dictionary do you use as far as the King James Bible is concerned to understand the words of the King James Bible? The answer to that is the Oxford English Dictionary. That's the answer. It has the historical meanings from the English words from 1000 A.D. to 1200 A.D., 1500, 1611 A.D., 1700, 1900, and so on. It's a historical dictionary of the English language. And that's what I would use, and that's what I do use. When somebody comes along and says, oh, the King James Bible, here's an error in translation here. They didn't know what they're doing here. I simply look at the Hebrew or Greek, and then I look at my Oxford English Dictionary. In 1611, what did the word mean? How was it translated then? And I find the King James translators properly translated Hebrew and Greek into the English with the proper meaning of the English word, and that's what I resolve. Well, they go on scrapping like a bunch of cats and dogs, and pardon me, but that's what they're doing. And then Wallace says, well, here's the problem that I've faced. 300 of these words plus have changed their meaning in the last 400 years. And it seems to me that the King James only people use these words in whatever. And then Gipp says, documented. Well, yes, it's documented. In the introduction of the RSV, Gipp says, oh, yes. And that's a very broad representation. It might be 30 that have changed where somebody needed an explanation. Wallace says, it gives the word. Gipp says, okay, shambles is marketplace. Wallace says, okay. Now, let me just pause right here. As far as the number of words that have changed their meaning in the last 400 years, that's not 400 anyhow, 1611 to 1995, and that is 384 years, so it's not exactly that anyhow. He says 300 words plus. Well, the dictionary of the Trinitarian Bible Society lists 612 words. The American Bible Society's lexicon for new words or words that have changed their meaning somewhat lists 500 words. And I'm sorry that Samuel Gipp doesn't know how many words, at least they say, have changed their meaning. And it's a sad thing when he's here without the facts. I wasn't there. I didn't want to be there because he was going to be there. I would have been glad to have been there to have a logical, high-level discussion of the Greek and Hebrew text, James Bible translation, as well as the errors of the New International Version, the errors of the New American Standard Version, and the errors of the New King James Version. I despise the fact that they're putting all of the argument against the King James Bible and letting the other versions go scot-free. That is wrong. And that's what I told John Ankerbrook would happen. It did happen, and this is a sad thing indeed. Well, I hope you'll stay tuned next week. We're going to continue. We're going to continue on from this point, and Lord willing, we'll just take it up where we left off next week. Please stay tuned, but time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on our order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get this book, Defending the King James Bible, maybe these tapes, or call us direct at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get them. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long, until next broadcast. Don't miss it.